Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real as Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Paige Yates
and Taylor Yates.
And in this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team.
Hey, Mom, how you doing?
Good, thanks, T.
Anything new lately?
I've been spending a little bit more time with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked your 9-year-old son to help me by going to a bookstore to buy books for the summer house for all different age groups of the grandkids. And I learned a word and a whole category of books that I'd never heard of before.
Which one?
It was called graphic novels.
Yeah.
And I have to say to you, it looks to me like comic books on steroids and in a hardcover.
It's the gentleman's comic book.
But it was great because I'm like, what is this book? And Asher was really keen for it. So he bought 3 or 4 of them and it was fun. But I did realize that much like comic books, they're quick reads. So if your child is really trying to read summer reading level books, graphic novels might be the romance novel version of legitimate books.
Yeah. What I have noticed is if you have a popular young adult series or like, you know, kids book series, it's pretty much obligatory for you then to take that book and turn it into a graphic novel series. I mean, it seems like a great way to
monetize. It was totally new to me.
Yeah,
totally new to me. And I'm like going, oh my God, this is brilliant. And even for kids who might have some learning disabilities or styles and reading is a little bit harder, it's kind of nice to have a little bit of context clues there in the visual.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to say, I learned something. It was incredibly impressive. And I now have a new word called graphic novels.
Graphic novels, yep.
And I now know what that means.
Yeah. No, they're fun. Well, cool. So this month, we are talking about entertainment homes. And this week, we're talking about understanding the entertainer buyer profile. So, Mom, what do you think defines an entertainer buyer and how can you identify them?
I think that's tough. I think in the pre-discussion of elements of the house that they are looking for, it oftentimes comes up. For instance, I might have someone who is a wine connoisseur or someone who just enjoys wines and has even a small collection. When we go then to look at houses, we're looking for spaces that can accommodate that interest or passion. And I think in your early on discussion with the buyer, I think that comes out.
Yeah, I think there's two ways to identify them, right? And one is when they are your client as buyers, and one is when they come to your listing. When you're meeting your buyers, it should come up, right? When you're asking them, like, so tell me, like, what kinds of things do you like to do? Tell me what kind of house you're looking for. They should bring up, I really like to host. Or if they don't say it that specifically, when you ask them, what do they like to do for fun? You'll just be able to figure it out. Oh, it sounds like you like to have your friends over a lot. You know?
Or someone says, I love to cook.
I love
to
cook.
So the kitchen's really important to me. And then that usually spins off to, I love to entertain.
Right, exactly. And so that's one way, is they should just outright tell you. But also when you are listing a home, some homes are just really well set up for it. And when you're doing your work to market the home, you should be highlighting that anyway. And the people that walk through the door should know about that feature to begin with. And in all likelihood, that was one of the things that attracted them to the home. And obviously, all kinds of people walk through the front door. So as good listing agents, we talk to them. We say, hey, what do you think about this, that, or the other? And they might tell you. I love that you brought up wine cellars, because I feel like wine cellars are an interesting animal in that people who want a wine cellar, like to drink wine, and they like to drink it as a part of entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just have a good wine cellar. You have to have a good place to drink wine with company.
Yeah, it's true. And the other thing with wine cellars that over the last 20 years has changed is it used to be that people wanted some sort of designated space that they could actually open a door and go into a wine cellar.
Right, like an actual cellar.
An actual cellar. And people have done all kinds of taking spaces in their basement, bringing in barrels from France and hanging on the wall so it kind of feels much more like
a cave. Oh yeah, I feel like I've seen that once before.
It's very cool. But what's happened recently with the improvement as to be expected with appliances, et cetera, is they've got really nice standalone wine cellars that you can put in any space in a house. They're a little bit more mobile and they just fit a lot better because they're smaller. And I think people who don't have large houses but have a passion for wine have an option to not have a cave-like wine cellar, but in fact have a wine collection. And that is what I think has been great about recent improvements.
Yeah. You are right in that it kind of depends on why do you want the wine cellar? Do you want the aesthetic that comes with it? That's a whole other thing than like, do you just have a big wine collection and you want to take very good care of it? I'm not like a big drinker, period, but I do keep wine bottles around the house for company and I just like throw them in the fridge, which I'm sure the, what is it called? Winophiles or?
Aficionados.
Aficionados, right? Or the sommeliers listening would be like, oh my God, how could you do that?
But if people who have a passion understand it and do the research and are collectors know a lot more than we do. But I think it's nice that small houses can have wine spaces as much as large homes.
That's right.
Because you can do it a couple different ways.
Right. And so this discussion about wine cellars and like what you're trying to get out of them is really important when we're talking about selling a home with entertaining spaces. Because when somebody comes in and mentions something that's compelling about the house, you need to really zero in on like what about it is compelling. Because then that allows you to speak to the features of the house that matter to them. If they're like, I love wine and I want to take good care of my wine collection, then here's the quality of the door that you use to seal it. Here's the quality of the cooling machine that keeps the wine cellar at the right temperature. And then, by the way, here's the place to go drink the wine.
And I've seen it all different ways. I've seen the wine coolers, the wine cellars that just house the wines. And then I've seen what I would consider to be a wine cellar for entertaining aesthetically. You know, it becomes a big table in the center of the wine cellar, and then you have the coolers around you. So it can be a lot of different things.
Yeah. And if you're going for that aesthetic, you know, as a listing agent, you better know where that cask on the wall is from.
Right.
Right. You better know like what part of France and what kind of wine was made in that cask.
Well, there's always a story, right, with the space.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back with a question from the audience. Did you know that Paige and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs, too. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today. All right, so how should we tailor our listing presentations when selling a home that caters to an entertainer's lifestyle?
There's no question that in these homes that have specific entertaining spaces, and I consider those could be wine cellars, it could be theater rooms, it could be outdoor grilling areas, pergolas. I think those become a focal point in the strategy of marketing the home because I think you're marketing a lifestyle, not just this is what's in this house. If you want to be outdoors, sitting by the fireplace, whatever it may be, cooking, whatever, those things are important. If you watch movies every week, a theater might be really important.
I think this is true of any unique space in the house. This is where staging can really make a huge difference. I know they say always do staging. I'm not quite that absolutist about it because I don't think it makes sense in every situation. But the situations where it really does make sense is when you've got like a unique entertaining space or like some kind of unique nook in the house and you want to show that entertainer buyer, this is what that could look like. I'm not going to show you an empty space. I'm not going to show you the old furniture. I'm going to show you what modern entertaining looks like in this space because I think you'll like that.
I think that's great advice. Great advice. And I think it absolutely helps in the sale of homes that are focused on entertainment.
For sure. Well, thanks for that awesome question. If you're a curious cat and would like your question to be answered, you can just send us an email at contact@yatesboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yates Team Boston.
That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you like this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yates Team Boston or on the web at yatesboston.com.